My name is Robert Alva. I'm a marijuana addict. Thanks for asking me to speak. I really appreciate it. You know, it's been a while since I've been here. Welcome to newcomers. You know, it takes so much courage to say, I'm a newcomer, to actually stand up and even hug somebody. You know, that takes a lot of courage. And I just want to welcome you guys to Marijuana Anonymous. Pretty quick, you know, I grew up in a place where there was a lot of Mexican American. I'm Chicano, but I look white. So I kind of used that to my advantage. My first gateway, which we all think that marijuana is the gateway, my first gateway drug was fantasy. And I liked to pretend and be in this fantasy world. And because I looked white and I had red hair, I would pretend that I was Australian. And, you know, where I grew up, everybody had brown skin, brown hair, black hair. And I'm the only dude with red hair and white skin. So any kid that came in, I would pretend that I was Australian to them with the accent and everything. And like, oh, hey, man, you're the new kid in town. You know, just like totally pretend I was Australian to this guy. And a lot of times they found out pretty quick, you know, but there was this one friend that was a really good friend of mine. And I told him that, you know, I'm going to take him to Australia on a family trip. You see, my family, Australian family, we went to Australia every year. We were a tight-knit family. Everything was good there. There was no alcohol. There was no yelling. There was just a great family love atmosphere. You see, this is what I wanted. This is the fantasy. And I would play it and I would pretend this for a long time. And one day, you know, his dad called my dad. And if you ever listen to my dad sounds like Cheech Marin. You know, so all I know is I was in the room and I just hear my dad go, Australian? No, we're Mexican. And I knew that the jig was up. I knew that, you know, when I'd see this kid again, he'd go, hey, you know, what happened, you know? And I just said, hey, the joke's on you. I was the favorite little cousin, the biggest little cousin, so I used to go upstairs to where all the adults were during all the holidays. And I was the kid that used to roll joints. I was the kid that used to take out the trash. I'd take out the bottles, and I would bring my little cousins, little roaches, and little bits of beer and alcohol. And I just thought that was normal. I just grew up thinking it was normal. I thought growing up at the racetrack was normal. You know, I thought that my uncles being in a fight was normal. My grandma, my grandpa, I mean, the whole family was just dysfunctional. But I found refuge in smoking pot and drinking. You know, I felt good. It made me feel good. It made me feel like everything's all right. But everything was not all right. You know, as I got into high school, I picked up another thing that's kind of on the border of fantasy, and it was called graffiti art. And I became this person, this guy, you know. And I figured that if I got around and wrote my name all over town, that people would notice me. People would know me. You know, I would climb freeway signs. I would cross freeways. I'd you know, smoke weed everywhere. You know, on the RTDs, I'd get on top of the RTDs, and I would ride, you know. I'd smoke weed on freeway signs. I'd smoke weed on the side of the streets. You know, I'd walk to Pico and Hoover and get little dime bags. I would do this for a long time. And I felt like this emptiness. And I became a pretty prolific graffiti writer where a lot of people did know me. And made me feel good. So I had marijuana making me feel good, and I had this popularity of being a graffiti writer. But you know what? Something was missing. I felt like there was something missing. There was like a void, you know? I didn't know what it was, but what I thought would be a good solution is I dumped all my girlfriends and married the actual one that loved me the most. And that's what I did. and we got married, and I had two kids. And I found out that really didn't fix the void. Smoking marijuana did fix it, right? So I just told her that I never really loved her, and we left. And I found another girl, and we became tight together. And we had this, a lot of things in common, like smoking weed, taking ecstasy, being masculine, a lot of different things, acid. And we had two kids together. And then there was a little void with her, too. I went to jail when I came back out. And she was there for me, but I didn't really care. So we were gone. I met another girl, and we had four kids together. Are you guys keeping up with this? Mm-hmm. I have three babies, mamas, and eight kids. And I'm thinking, I still feel this void. What the heck's going on? You know? And one day, the Department of Children and Family Services knocks on my door, and I thought they were at the wrong house, but no, they found the right house. And they sent me to the happiest place on earth called Family Court. And I had to start getting tested. I had to go to an outpatient place just for marijuana. But I can drink, though. The referee said I can drink. But something told me that I probably shouldn't drink. It probably wasn't a good idea. So I didn't drink either. My sobriety date is 9903. And they gave me this court card, and it's really the biggest court card that MA ever saw. I still hold the record. And I had to go to a lot of different meetings. And you know what? When I walked through the door and I seen all your happy faces, it made me puke. And I hated that you guys wanted to hug me. I hated your colorful pamphlets, your books, your preambles, your 12 steps, your 12 traditions, your speaker, man, he was full of shit. All the chip takers, they were a bunch of liars. I go, how can this guy have 30 days? No way, he's lying. And that's how I really came into the room. And you know, you guys would save the last 10 minutes for the newcomers or those with the burning desire to share. Well, I raised up my hand because I had a lot to say. And you know what I said? I said despicable things. And I really cussed everybody out. And I just said, you guys are a bunch of losers. Look at you. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just trying to get my kids back. And as soon as I get my kids back, I'm out of here. And I'm thinking, I really teared you guys a new one. But you guys, all you did was just clap. And then at the meeting, you would say, come here, Whitson, give me a hug. You know, and I didn't want to hug you guys. I'm like thinking, why would someone want to hug me? You see all the records that I had that I didn't think I had. See, I wanted the white picket fence just like all you guys. I wanted the good life just like you guys. I wanted the tight-knit family just like you guys. But I found refuge in being this other guy. Smoking marijuana, drinking, doing ecstasy, acid, mescaline, being this graffiti guy, being good at my job. See, I had different names. People called me different things everywhere I went. In program, I came in as Whisker. At work, I was Redman. You know, in graffiti world, I was Whisk. At home, I was Asshole. I had a lot of different names. I was Dad. You know, messed around with the little neighborhood. I had a name there, too. I had all these different names. And you know what? I was all those different people. So I did your little program, and you guys had these great corny sayings, like, one day at a time. You know, don't quit until the miracle happens. You know, you had so many. I mean, I can go on and on. And someone told me, you know what, Whisker? It's not enough that you're doing this for your kids. And I go, what do you mean? And I got very angry. So to know, if you want to stay clean and sober, you're going to have to find a reason to do this program for yourself. I go, well, I don't want to do this for myself. But, you know, me being a very smart guy, I went home saying, what if all these idiots are right? Could I actually find a reason to do this program for myself? What would that reason be? Right? So, you guys say the last 10 minutes, and I kept on sharing, and I kept on saying, haha, didn't find the reason yet. Program's not working, didn't find the reason yet. Oh yeah, I'm still trying to find that reason to do this for myself. I mocked you guys. I would make fun of you guys. And when you guys are talking, in the back of my head, I start making fun of you. I started finding all the differences, like, that guy's hair is fucked up, I hate the Red Sox, you know, like, just, you know, just all kinds of stuff I would find. I wouldn't try to find anything that was common. I wouldn't try to do it. And my sponsor said, you know what, one day you're going to have something called a spiritual awakening. And that made me vomit. I was like, a spiritual awakening? Come on, you got to be kidding me. Dude, you're talking to the whisker, man. You got to bring something real. Don't play all that program bullshit to me. I can't do it. You got to give me something I can really hold on to. And so I kept on sharing, haha. Still didn't find a reason. Yeah, dangers of cross addiction, haha. Oh, what a big liar. You took 12 years. Yeah, right. Oh, hope chip. Yeah, thank you, dude. Hope chip. Oh, man, I can't wait till I make it 12 years. You know, I just didn't have it. And then one day, this guy said, hey, good for you, Whisker. And I go, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, man, you remember you've been sharing that. You've been looking for this reason to do this program for yourself. Well, you finally found it. You were sharing about it tonight. And I go, what did I say? What did I say? And I was really serious. Like, what did I say? And he said, remember when you said that you want to be a product of your goals in life and not a product of your shit? That's a good reason to do this for yourself. And man, I got this like, it still even happened. I got this like tingling feeling, hair started raising up. And I drove down Zelda, and I knew something was different. I knew something was happening, so I called my sponsor, you know, the big pushover guy that I bullshitted all this time. And I said, yeah, dude, wait a minute, I feel something. I feel like, and he's like, well, just slow down, what happened? And I told him what happened, and I told him I was on the side of the road, and I felt all tingly, and he goes, Whisker, I think you're having a spiritual, and I said, don't say it! He said, yeah, man, you're having a spiritual awakening. And I said, I gotta go, and I hung up on him. And after I hung up on him, years and years and years and years and years and years of emotion, years and years and void and years and void and death and destruction and everything came out, and I just started crying my eyes out. I really did have a spiritual awakening. And being on Zelda and getting out of the hills and just crying my eyes out, I go, oh man, I can't believe it. I'm having this thing that they're talking about I couldn't explain it. I just went home and went to sleep. Still had the court car, went to the meeting the next day, and you guys passing the basket around, getting my $2 every meeting. I used to throw my court card into that basket like if I had Boston. Bam! And the next day, after that spiritual awakening, I put my court card in the basket and I said, thank you. I don't know, to this day, who I said thank you to. It wasn't higher power, it wasn't God, it wasn't you guys, it wasn't anything. It just came out, thank you. And everything was different then. Everything was different. You guys started sharing, and I go, whoa, that's interesting. Oh, man, that dude's deep. You know what? And I felt like hugging people. I started hugging people. And I called my sponsor again. He's like, hey, what happened? I go, hey, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, what's wrong with this girl? I said, I got to be honest with you. I got to share something with you. He's like, what happened, man? You smoke? You went out? What happened? Last night, you sounded good. I said, no, man. No, I am good. I'm still clean and sober. But I've been totally bullshitting you. He's all, I know. I go, hey, can we start the steps over again? He's all, sure. And we started the steps over again. And I did it with, I did the way, because I want everything to be right. I want to do it perfect. You know? And you guys told me that there's no right or wrong way. You just have to be thorough. And you guys started teaching me these new words. Words like honesty and hope and faith and courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love and forgiveness, justice, perseverance, spiritual awareness, and service. And all those words didn't mean nothing to me. Those were a bunch of words that were like for people that went to war, presidents, guardians, angels. Those were not my type of words. But you guys started teaching me these words. You know, and then I started developing some time. And I started learning about what this program is really about. And people would tell me, wow, Whisker, you're still around. I'd be like, damn right I'm still around. And I started taking pride in gathering this time and being a service. And I really started thinking, you know, what's this program all really about, you know? What are my sponsors trying to teach me? What are these sponsors trying to teach their sponsees? What are these sponsees trying to learn? You know, the big book? The 12 steps? It's all these words that I just rattled off that we're trying to learn, that the sponsors are trying to convey to the sponsees, that the sponsors are trying to learn themselves. Sometimes we go through these 12 steps and we're not learning words. We're doing the writing and we're crying and we're sharing and we're doing all this stuff and we're going to the camp out and, you know, Unity Day, and I'm really getting it, man. But you know what the bottom line is? If we don't learn these 12 concepts, the 12 steps of Marijuana Anonymous, then we're really not learning about ourselves. And that's all this program is really about. It's just learning about myself, putting these 12 concepts into my system, and actually doing it every single day. You know what life's like for me now? Those 8 kids. It was my son's birthday. He turned 11. I have a birthday every month, basically, with 8 kids. And it was so awesome to pick them up and have all the 8 kids together. And I was taking pictures and being present in their lives. Daddy, you know, this and that. And, Dad, I got a girlfriend. And I need a car. And, you know, I need my boyfriend. Like, you know, they're all different ages from 19 to 3 years old. So I'm hearing all these requests. And I'm being present for that. That's what life's like now. You know, my day job, I slang solar panels. I actually print books in this graffiti thing now. I did something with that. And it was all because I learned about myself. I incorporated honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love and forgiveness, right? Justice, perseverance, spiritual awareness, and service into my life. And you know, my whole filter in my head, you know what it really is? It's that stupid serenity prayer. It is. Everything comes into my ear, and if I can change it, then I ask for the courage to change it. If I can't change it, I ask God for some serenity, and I also ask Him for the difference. That's my filter. When you talk, blah, 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 right? How I hear it is, okay, can I change this? Then give me the courage. If I can't change it, then give me some serenity. And really teach me how to know the difference. That could be a whole meeting in itself, couldn't it? The serenity prayer. It really could. And the 12 steps could be their own meeting. The 12 traditions for extra credit can be its own meaning. The 12 concepts for extra credit can be its own meaning. But this is what it is, guys. Newcomers, people with time, we all have the same problem. You know, so what you have a day, so what I almost have 7 years, we wake up with the same problem. Right? Whisker, do you still need to go to meetings? Yeah, I do. Why? Because you know what? There's something that someone can get if I share that maybe might not really resonate with them immediately, but as time goes on, they'll remember something that maybe one of us said, and they'll go, you know what? That's it right there. And I'll learn about myself, and you'll learn about yourself, and we'll try to help each other. And this is all this program's all about. Learning and teaching. Learning and passing along. Learning and giving a hug. Learning and coming to meetings. Learning about ourselves and being what we always wanted, deep down inside. Right? To be that good person. Thanks for letting me share.